adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. I park in the handicap parking on a nightly basis here at the radio station.
Unacceptable.
Feels good.
I gotta say. A little civil disobedience.
Yeah. Feels good. Plus, there's, we have 11 handicap parking spaces and two regular ones. And one of them's on the roof and the other one's down at KLOS, which is six, seven intersections down. So I just park. It's 10 at night. I give the phone number out and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I did that?
I'm sure you did.
Yes. If I didn't do it tonight, I did last night, right?
Yeah.
And I'll do it tomorrow
You'll do it later tonight, too.
We're good. Pulled up. We have a friend who's confined to a wheelchair, and he comes to visit us. Well, he's more of an acquaintance, but Drew invites him to see the show every once in a while. Yes, Drew?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
He calls my people.
He does?
Yeah.
And invites himself out?
Yeah.
And we invite him out. Anyway, pulled up next to a van and actually had a handicapped person in it.
You were embarrassed and ashamed and
I was shamed. I was shamed. I was like, what's going on?
And outraged.
Yeah. I really didn't know what was going on because I have a string of handicapped parking that I was on a roll with
handicapped
parking.
You weren't able to put, there weren't enough spaces.
No, and then.
Then you felt guilty.
I could have parked in the handicapped parking, but then I thought.
More handicapped people show up, right?
I don't need a pox put on me
I see.
By the guy driving the van.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And be fair, I mean, 14 more handicapped people could be in pursuit.
You never know when bus is pulling up.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, and even though we're on private property, I'm sure we could get the $400 ticket.
Well, let's set the stage. People haven't set the scene in their own mind yet. We broadcast from a radio studio. It's a separate building surrounded by an 8-foot fence.
Right.
A driveway you must drive through and an electric gate that opens.
There's no doubt we could get a ticket.
And in there is inside the compound are these parking places. Yes.
No, I think.
Yes, we could. Oh, yes.
If somebody stenciled the wheelchair guy on your living room
and you sat on it,
you could probably get a $400 ticket.
Just paint it blue.
Yeah. So anyway, I pulled around. I thought I'd better move. I didn't want to get the stink eye from the guy who was driving the van. I drove around. And I parked in another handicapped space, but at least it was further away.
Okay.
And I thought, this is a way. See, now what I'm doing here is I'm saving some face because I'm not backing away from the handicap, but I'm moving to the other handicapped spot.
Right. You're actually doing what adults do.
Yeah.
Which is let's give somebody that needs the space and move on.
Parking in the handicap for me is a lot like whizzing in the sink. It's a certain. First off, it's an F you to the man.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least my wife. And secondly, it's liberating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm
creative.
I'm James Dean. You know what I mean? I'm a wild man. What might I do next? Whizzing in the sink, parking in the handicap zone? This guy's a maniac.
Woo.
Hey, I'm the kind of guy, I'll take an aluminum can, throw it right in with the regular garbage.
Oh,
maniac.
Whoa. You live by your own rules.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's right. Hey, I play by my own rules.
Adam.
Yeah.
Chris seems to be in a particularly good mood tonight. He's laughing at all your jokes.
Yeah, I don't know what's up.
It couldn't be the jokes are funny. He's laughing at all of them.
I think this kid finally slid into ass kiss mode. Been waiting 6 months for Chris to slide into ass kiss mode.
No.
Remember where Chris, our engineer Chris, was at? Well, maybe he got laid or something.
Ah, okay.
You got a gal? No? Fresh born?
Yeah. No?
No?
Right. Get that mic when you talk to us. Come
Chris. And we have engineer Chris out here at the K-Rock studio. And, of course, the anchor man, engineer Anderson, the guy who just dropped the bong cart.
See, Chris is the first guy that's actually been locked in a room with us every night.
Yeah.
You know, Anderson at least was in a control booth somewhere. And now he's safely removed from us.
Chris had to warm up to us, though.
It's going well.
It's going well? It's not bad, right?
Remember? Have you now picked up any cues, any clues about how to succeed in radio?
Yeah. Drink lots of coffee and talk about
Nothing.
Cars.
Cars. Cars.
All right. Well, last, it's marginally more flattering than the last one. Mercy, last time we talked to Chris on the air, when I found out he wanted to be an on-the-air personality, I said, well, what have you learned from, you know, veteran. Basically kneeling at the hem of the master? You know what I mean?
Yeah, locked in a room with him
locked
while he,
in a
while
room
he does
the master
his work.
For two yes. hours a night. And Chris said, don't look on the computer.
Don't prepare.
Don't prepare. Yeah. Do not prepare.
And say exactly. whatever you want.
And say whatever you want. Yeah. All right, buddy.
Oh, my goodness.
As long as you're learning.
Oh, always.
Because they ain't paying you enough not to learn
but
something.
No girlfriend.
Every day.
No girl?
We got to work on that for him, Adam. Come on.
Yeah. Well, maybe if there's a nice gal calling from the Los Angeles.
Alhambra, Rosemead, Temple City.
Looking for a guy in the $8 to $11 range who's still living at home.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just saying, you, my friend, you find a woman, and that gives you the confidence to get up into the $12 range and tell your mom that'll be the last time you'll be doing my laundry because I'm moving out.
Susie's doing it now.
Yeah. You're living at home, right?
Yes.
All right. You know, a lot of guys don't mind. You know what? I think our parents were smart. They were like our parents. Us living at home was like living in a really crappy. Like for me, it was living at a horrible motel that I just couldn't wait to check out of. You know what I mean? Like the surly guy at the desk, the maid that was shooting me the stink eye, the roaches in the sink. It was like my parents did such a wonderful job of crafting such like if it was an amusement park, it would have been called Depressing Land. And I couldn't wait to get out of there. Even the one bedroom sharing the futon with the three guys, still, oh, God, this is utopia compared to what I'm from. I think a lot of, I talk to people that they do is their mom's cooking, their mom's cleaning. They got to worry about the beating off. That's the tough part. Because when you're like 28 and you're living at home, and you know, Chris, how old are you?
27.
27.
Ooh!
27.
Yeah.
All right, 27, no girlfriend.
You didn't think I look 27, huh?
No, you look young.
Yeah.
But you know why? Because you got almost no mileage on you. Because you're living at home.
Yeah.
Mom's serving up the hungry man dinners.
He's
and
raised
doing
like
the laundry.
Veal. Hungry man. It's good.
Yeah.
I can make those myself.
Because never seen sunlight. Point is, here's the problem. Here's where the problem comes in. You're 27. You got a stack of porn. Now you're living at home.
Yeah, but that's more mom's problem than Chris's problem.
Yeah.
Mom is not one to run into that at the wrong time. Believe me.
Really?
Huh. But she wants to snoop around.
As a parent, stumble into that in action. Well, that's what I would be doing. Like every time I came down the hall to your bedroom, I would be like, "Well, here I come,
right,
walking down the lonely hall, gonna see my best son, and I'm gonna knock on his door, and then I'm gonna close my eyes, and I'm gonna enter, and then count to 10, and open my eyes." And that's what I would be doing.
Yeah,
I'd probably set up some cans or something that I would just knock over just to let you know I was coming.
Yep.
Yeah, your mom doesn't need to see that.
Okay.
That would break her heart.
All right.
She a religious woman?
Not really.
No, she's cool with that.
And yeah. she's a good cook?
She's a good cook.
Mexican food.
What's her favorite dish? Well, she's Italian.
She's Italian?
Yeah.
What's she known
My
for?
My dad's Mexican.
All right.
Yeah.
What's she known for? What kind of...
Spaghetti.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exotica.
All right, but does she want you out of the house?
Do you have other siblings?
I don't even have enough money to get out of the house, so.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think my parents factored that in. But do they want you to say, like, look, this engineering gig where you get.
No, I pay rent.
You pay
so
rent?
That's cool, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
How dare they?
Yeah.
I'm mad.
What are they charging you?
$200? Yeah.
All right. And what do you got? You got a bathroom in your room?
No.
You got it?
Share it with my brother.
Share it with your brother.
Yeah.
He's 45. How old is he?
How many siblings do you have?
He's 22.
Okay, let me explain. Yeah. Okay, let me explain something.
He works at Starbucks.
Chris is getting... engineer Chris is getting...
The one in Alhambra?
No, he works the one in Pasadena now.
True. Drew drives 70 miles for a free cup of coffee, by the way, because it's like $3.
I'm going to figure out which one it is.
Across the street from Huntington Memorial.
Oh, my God. They go there all the time.
Here's what I'm saying. Really? You're gonna You going to play that card?
I go there all the time. I do.
Hey, you know, it's his. Oh, he's not working. That's always the that's the uncomfortable one when you're trying to get something free and the guy's not there. Stu's not here. Because, see, he usually takes care of me. Like when you're trying to get something free, even though the guy's day off. All right, here's the thing. You're 27.
Right, right.
4 more years, if you can hold out, your parents will be living with you. At this point, you're living with your parents.
You'll be taking care of them.
Yeah.
They'll need you.
See, here's their work. Right now, it's a liability with the chicks, because what are you doing? You're living at home. Mm. What, 27, you're living at home?
But I want to get out.
I know.
I just can't afford it.
Don't talk. I'm working a plan out for you. Okay. If you can hold out until you're like 31, then it's like this. Where are you living? I got my parents living with me. Oh, that's sweet. You make up a little something for your mom. Right. She's got a joint.
She needs help.
Little dementia.
Little dementia.
And to save money, we all live in the same roof because she needs round the clock care, and so we provide that
so
for
taking,
her. I'm making sure she gets the care that she needs.
Right. So I'm saying, if you can get into your early 30s and still be at home, they're with you. That's how it works.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
All right. Just a couple more years.
Can't get rid of your brother, though.
Yeah. He's going to be trouble because you won't be able to explain him away.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unless he goes to nursing school.
You got to encourage him to get out of the house.
He's trying.
It's tough, though, because you're 5 years older, so it's hard to play that.
Yeah, but Chris, you're looking to radio to get you out of the house.
Yeah.
That is a scary crapshoot.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a dream. Your brother. He's just a loafer.
He's got Starbucks.
Yeah, he's got nothing. We can get him out of the house. All right?
All right.
And then you start playing that, I'm taking care of my parents' car. And it's good when you bring the chicks over if you could get your dad to walk with a limp or something.
Oh, my dad's out already.
Oh, he's out?
Yeah. What?
They're divorced.
Oh, divorced?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to work.
Where's he living?
He lives in Monrovia.
Huh. This is going to work like a charm then with the mom.
Yeah.
You got to get her a limp.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk
to
Monique.
Poor Chris.
Monique?
Yes?
You're 17?
Uh-huh.
What's happening, baby doll?
Okay. I don't get anything out of sex.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you having it?
I don't know.
I'm not meaning to be facetious or to attack you for this, but I mean quite honestly. If you get nothing out of it, it sounds like you're kind of depressed and not really happy with this whole situation.
No, well, I've only had sex about six times.
Yeah, but you get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Hold on. Drew, would you shut up for a second? People can't hear her. Is it your phone line? Are you speaking softly? Are you worried about your folks hearing you or folk?
I don't want nobody to hear me.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that's a catch-22.
That's exactly what's happening. Nobody's hearing you.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
No.
So you have to speak up.
Okay.
All right. Now, my question was, why not just stop having sex if it's something that does nothing for you?
Because I want to.
But why do you... I really want somebody to give me an answer to this. Why continue?
Yeah.
Why want to do something that does nothing for you?
Maybe I think the next time would be something, you know?
And what is it that's missing now?
I don't know. That's why I want to know.
Well, what's your sense of what's missing? You're just not getting stimulated, or you just don't love this guy?
I think, is it possible that it's the condom?
No, what's possible is... No.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Who's the condom tougher on sensation-wise? The guy?
Think about it. The guys are the ones always saying, no, I can't wear a condom. I like how it feels. Always the guy.
I know, but...
Girls will complain a little bit.
But the women have much more to lose by a guy not wearing a condom.
Yeah, but a woman will not say, I feel nothing because of a condom.
Well, if you think about it... Maybe I'm just going to extremes to make a point here, but whether it's whether it's 1 mil, 1 micron of latex or it's solid latex that's entering you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you take the penis, you put a hundredth of an inch of latex around it, it might as well just be pure latex.
Which let's think about that. Let's follow this logic the way you're reasoning even further.
Aha! Uh-huh.
And they don't seem to be bothered by the solid latex. In fact, that works for some of them. While a guy, if he's going to use a latex product, it must be immobile. It can't wrap around him or it doesn't work.
Mm.
You see my logic? If the guy's going to use a latex vagina or something, it's got to be stationary, and he moves within it.
Right.
You can't stay around him. So a guy has more. While a woman, doesn't matter whether it's solid latex or latex wrap, it's all the same.
Listen, I'm just trying to play an angle. I'm not that.
It was good. It was good. I liked it.
No.
You proved my point.
Don't. I don't need your sympathy, Drew.
No, it's good.
Monique?
Yes?
How old's your boyfriend?
He's 18.
All right. Well, do you love him?
Yeah, I care about him.
You didn't say a resounding endorsement.
You didn't say the word love, though.
No, well, he's the only guy I've been with.
You still didn't say the word love.
Those are all sort of negatives. May not be into this guy. B, he may not know what he's doing. C, you may not be ready to do this.
D, you're calling from Bakersfield, and everyone in Bakersfield is clinically depressed and therefore can experience no pleasure.
Isn't it funny that it's everyone's sort of baked in Bakersfield? Isn't that it's an ironic name, isn't it?
It's a horrible, horrible place to make a home.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's horrible. I can't drive through that dump fast enough. Once in a while, I'm forced to drive through Bakersfield. I've got to roll up the windows and speed.
Then what is it then?
I'm making the case that maybe you're not ready to have sex yet.
And you don't say you're in love with the guy.
Yeah, and the
I've only known him for a couple of months.
All right, and Adam is saying that maybe this isn't the right guy. You don't have the right feelings for this guy.
17-year-old girls who are having sex with guys they've known for a couple of months can very easily be in love with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I told him that.
You told him you're in love with him?
Yes.
But he didn't say he loves you.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
You're angry.
Yeah. Listen, ladies. You tell the guy you love him, and he says, I like you, too. Feel free to move on.
Yeah.
That's fine. She's freaked out. She's not relaxed.
Multiple reasons that isn't working.
Fine. So be it. Keep that condom on. Don't get pregnant.
Yes.
Sam?
Yeah.
Caller who goes by the name of Sam?
Yeah.
That's you? You're 17?
How's it going?
Good.
Sam, you got to speak up, too. We can't hear you.
Unless I've had an asshole of Sam already.
Let's try it.
No. Sam will be good?
That's what they
say. All right. Anderson just gave the
pox.
Kiss of death to Sam. Sam?
Is this okay?
Go ahead.
Much better.
What's up?
All right. Well, my girlfriend has these memories of our past lives. And she says that I cheated on her in the, let's say, late 70s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
your point?
Well, right now, she's telling me about how she's, like, looking at other dudes. And I want to know if that would come from some sort of resentment.
From what decade?
What?
She's looking at dudes from this era, or is she going into the future and looking at, like, George Jetson?
Or behind. The Middle Ages or something.
Yeah. She's going back to the Bronze Age?
Maybe I called the wrong place.
Ooh.
Are you guys just going to make fun of me?
Touche.
Wow.
Well, here, Sam. Sam, your girlfriend has got psychiatric problems. And why you are caving into all that, I don't know. But, if she's having visions, that's a sign that she needs some help.
He's full of crap. No one has a logical discussion. No one has a reasonable discourse with their girlfriend and accuse them of going back 30 years and cheating on them. What do you mean cheating? We were a couple in the 70s?
Yeah. By the way, never underestimate the length to which a desperate male will go for a woman that he's attracted to.
This bogus call.
It may be, but I'm just saying. That's why you can entertain a call like that. You know what I mean? Because guys will go, they'll put up with a lot of stuff.
Let me say this about the future. A couple things. First off, I haven't talked about this in a while.
Right.
Everyone's wearing a jumpsuit in the future, by the way.
Yeah, and no doors.
There's no doors. Well, they're the aperture style. They really look like a dog's rectum.
Yeah.
It's really what all doors look like. Hinges, outlawed.
Yeah.
Now, here's the whole thing. If you're going into the future, and a lot of these movies are like, year 2028. Okay. Hinges?
Still around.
How many years Hinges been around?
Thousands.
Thousands. Yeah. Probably made out of leather.
Yeah.
and, you know, crudely banged together onto some thatched hut door, right?
Yeah.
But thousands of years. You think they're going to go somewhere in the next 11 years? Same argument with denim. There's no denim in the future.
Right.
Nobody wears jeans. There's no denim jackets. There's no denim jeans. No denim shirts. No denim anything. Well, let me tell you. Denim has been around since like 1841. You think it's going somewhere in the next 14 to 16 years? We're all just going to jump into gray jumpsuits? Retards.
And it's always some super material, some space-age material.
Yeah.
A synthetic material that will
somehow
keep us
warm.
Somehow
we're
going to
get incredibly pragmatic in the future. No one will have any sense of style whatsoever. Although the ladies still seem to wear a lot of eyeshadow and do their hair up, but they're all going to be content to wear the same gray jumpsuit.
Right.
Like chicks would ever wear the same outfit. They get pissed at their friend for wearing the same sweater. Out to dinner.
Yeah.
You think they're all going to jump in the same? It's always a charcoal gray jumpsuit, too. Zips up. Very practical. Okay, so there's no hinges. There's denim. No denim. And we've outlawed denim, and everyone's just in the same jumpsuit. And the doors make a weird noise every time you open them and close them. Yeah.
I think it
suggests there's some sort of airlock going on.
Right.
Every you go from the head to the living room to the dining room. Like, what are you gonna get the Benz going into the next room? Computers take over.
It seems like we've sort of given up on predicting the future. Anything?
Well, here's what happened. We entered 2000.
Yeah.
See, this was the big deal. All these years of movie making, all the stuff that was made in the 80s. And even the early 90s,
early stuff too.
Late, or you know, 70s, 80s, it'd be like, by the year 2001, man will no longer travel using airplanes or trains or automobiles, but his particles will be broken down and then reassembled. Hey, it's 1998. We barely got a car that runs.
It takes us 11 years to get a new drug on the market.
But by the year 2001... Herb, that's 26 months from now. You think that was a big thing? It's like 2000.
Yeah.
2000. Even though it was 1988,
yeah.
It was still like 2000 wasn't 12 years away. It was 1,012 years away.
Yeah.
That's this big deal. So it's like the year 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we're going to be colonizing the moon
Mars.
And Mars. We'll have destroyed our planet. We'll not recover. People here will be living underground. We'll have like a bubble over it. Nobody driving a car anymore. There's no such thing as a minivan or a station wagon. All this is going to happen in the next 9 years.
Perfect.
All right. Oh, and by the way, I don't know. We're talking about the future now, but let's talk about the past. We always have a good laugh about this because everybody in their past life, when they have their regression therapy and stuff, nobility.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think no serfs? Nobody swabbing out the toilet back then? Everybody was nobility? Every guy was a knight. Every chick was a queen. That's how it works?
And by the way, if you sort of look, let's take even the last 300 years. There'd probably be on the order of a few thousand, maybe tens of thousands of nobility. Millions and millions and millions of serfs and peasants and millions and millions and millions. The probability is that if we went back, that's who everyone would be.
Yeah. You're lucky you're making shoes.
Oh.
You're probably a prostitute who got some sort of venereal disease and died of syphilis
at
22.
And by the way, the vast majority didn't make it out of childhood.
Yeah.
What happened to all those? No one's ever that. Yeah, I would die when I was four.
Yeah, you never return as a sickly 5-year-old and then die 6 months later.
That is the vast majority of humans that have walked the planet.
Yeah. Everyone was a very proud knight.
Or at least an infantryman in the Union's army.
Yeah, but more likely more of a Joan of Arc type.
Well, there's always those,
with the
of
ladies
course,
come
yes.
back and the... guys come back as Sir Lancelot. And it's always, like I said, do the math. There's only so many positions. Oh, we'll put it this way. What was it like back then? How many Joan of Arcs were there?
But that's the point. If you added up the people that died in childhood, the women that died in childbirth, and the people who were peasants,
yeah,
it leaves about 1% in the more interesting category.
All right. So, look, you didn't have a past life. If you did, you were a bum, maybe a hobo, or you just died in infancy. Thank you, Drew. All right, there's a happy thought to go out on. Chris, engineer Chris, lived at home in his past life.
Well, he's, you know, yeah, he's good. He's good at it. What are you gonna do?
He's keeping a streak alive. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physicians. Tomorrow night, we got Burt McCracken from The Used. Some of you remember him as Kelly Osbourne's girlfriend.
Boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Used.
And Benji.
I think she outweighed him at the time.
Yeah, he's not a big man.
No, and at the time she was a larger gal, so I will shift genders.
I see.
Whoever weighs more is the
weighs,
dude.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Like, here's what I'm saying. Like, if you saw a couple of bears in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and the one of them was a big bear and the other was a little bear, you say, look at the papa bear and the mama bear.
No, I understand.
You wouldn't check their genitalia.
Yeah, not necessarily.
I was doing that with Kelly and Bert.
I gotcha.
Yeah, and Benji from Good Charlotte's coming in here. They're coming in together.
I slept
night.
Until 8:30 this morning,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to my usual 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
I feel 1,000% better.
Yeah?
It's not amazing. Bad. It's amazing.
I have that thing. I go to bed about 2 and change. I usually sleep till about 9, but I have to start taking a whiz about 8:40.
You make it that far with all that we do here and drink?
I do. Well, sometimes I take a whiz and maybe and I don't remember, but I have to start whizzing pretty good about 8:30, but I don't really have to get out of bed until about 9. Mm. So I just lie there sort of rolling around on sort of a half-inflated penis,
yeah.
Mostly urine in it, not
yes.
so much blood, thinking, well, this is great, because really I'm miserable.
But I'm too tired to get up.
But I'm too tired to get up. I wish, again, my invention, the mattress with the hole in it, done. I mean, first off, if you sleep on your belly and you get a boner... like I do at night, the boner drops right into the hole. I'm talking about a hole the size of, you know, one of those like 32-ounce 7-Eleven cups. You know, circumference-wise, okay, how about this? Let me say this, Drew. Now, quiet down and listen for a second. Let me say this. Because I'm always reinventing the mousetrap.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where people walk away. They say, good enough. Good enough as is, but not the Ace Man. The Ace Man is thinking. Here's what I'm saying. For 150 years, the bike seat never changed.
Yeah.
Never changed. And then some guy figured out, what the hell? What do we need? It should be open in the center.
Yes.
Get a little air in there. Those nice high-end 10-speed or mountain bike seats. Now, it's open there. You're not sitting on your sack. You still get the same support. You get the ventilation. It's lighter. Okay. 170 years, and somebody figured out 6 years ago and made a nice improvement, right?
Right. So you're going to do that with the bed.
The mattress.
The mattress.
The mattress. You sleep in the same place. Why not have a hole in the middle of it? Penis drops right down into the hole. You put a little hopper underneath there if you got to relieve yourself. Sometimes you get a little drip. Condom rolls off. Occasionally you got to vomit. You can't make it to the bathroom. Pow, you yak right into the mattress.
It would be convenient.
All right. I'm going to try this. And I would yoke it out a little. I wouldn't just make it round. I would make it sort of like a crevasse. You know, make about 4 inches wide. It'd really be like a turret, like what they would fire arrows out of a medieval castle in, you know, but they're like a slit.
Oh,
well,
yeah, a slit.
Yeah. I would do it. I would have it about 4 inches
would
wide.
Would your water be able to run through it? A little flushing type system?
Well, that would be an extra.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that it would be adaptable for that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And it would be about 3-4 inches wide. Probably be, how long would it have to be? Foot?
Foot, yeah.
10 inches?
8 inches, maybe. And listen, I have water running all the time, so you get the pleasure of those running water sounds.
Yeah.
And then a little zen garden.
Imagine
there.
The utopia you'd be living in, just lying there going, hey, I got a whiz. Hey, I'm in bed. Hey, it's freezing. I got the comforter pulled. Hup, I'm whizzing. No problemo.
Plus the sound of the water help you get it going.
How liberating would that be?
Eh?
You feel like a genius. And Drew, you're getting up, schlepping into the bathroom, turning the light on, knocking stuff over.
I lose an hour of sleep every night just lying, waiting, you know, until I can't handle it.
I gotta take a whiz. Yeah, just whiz away.
Yeah.
It whizzes away. And maybe it's got a little suction device down there, too, for the long nights.
Oh, my God.
You know, wife's on the period. You need to take the edge off. You're having a little trouble sleeping.
Okay, there you go.
Flick it on to fellatio. You know what I'm saying? All right, I'm just saying. I'll tell you, Drew, I know you got the kids. And something I was thinking about, too, regarding sleeping is you got to sleep on your back. You got to flip those kids over. Because, you know, I just flew in from New York, 6 hours each way. You're on the chair. All right, the chair reclines. But if you sleep on your face like I do, you ain't sleeping.
Well, you mean you got to get them used to sleeping on their back right away.
What a utopia if you sleep on your back. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
All you who have kids and they're in their crib and they're on their belly, flip them over. Get them used to that. And here's the other thing, too. First off, better for your back.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if something ever happens, you always got to go to your back. You bust your arm. You get anything happen.
Need a surgery.
Yeah, surgery, anything. Immediately, pow, you're on your back. And if you sleep on your face, you're screwed because you're just lying there staring at the ceiling.
You need your deviated septum repaired, though, so you can tolerate sleeping on your back.
Oh, it's harder for me to sleep on my back. I can't breathe so well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. You know, I start snoring when I sleep
there
on my back.
Huh?
Yeah. Wife elbows me. She says, "You're snoring." And I said,
"No, I'm not."
No, I didn't. I said, "That's how I know I'm asleep." Thanks. Put some goddamn earplugs in.
Barbara.
Focus on who's paying the
mortgage
around here. Barbara?
Yes.
You're 26?
Adam?
Yeah.
Hi, Adam.
What's happened, Barbs? What's going on?
Hi. Well, something terrible and devastating happened to me recently, this past week. I was using my boyfriend's computer at his house, and I accidentally discovered some gay porn.
Gay porn on the computer?
Yes, it was under his my recent documents, so it was something that he had recently seen. Mm-hmm. You know, on the computer when you start and you hit documents.
Right.
So he actually... What?
And I just accidentally clicked on it, and then, boom, it was gay porn. It was like two men having sex. I just almost throw up. It was...
Yeah.
I was sick.
It is disgusting.
He's bisexual.
I mean, I don't have problems with gays, but...
No, I don't either. But when you see a picture of them and what they do... it'll turn you around.
It's supposed to be on my boyfriend's computer.
Yeah. But now he actually had to have downloaded this, right?
Yes, he downloaded it.
Oh, my.
Well, is it possible that one of his buddies sent it to him on a goof or something like that?
No, but why would he save it? He has to save it to be on his computer.
All right, here's the only thing I'm going to say.
What is her accent?
She's Vietnamese.
I am not Vietnamese.
Wow. What is your accent from?
Chinese.
Okay.
Oh, Chinese. You see, that's all the same to us.
Oh, come on.
Come on,
Drew. Stop it, Adam.
I never knew. I didn't know the difference between Chinese and Japanese until I was like 33. All right. You're Chinese?
Yes, I am.
What's his nationality beside gay?
He's white. Just like
he's a white guy. Well, most white guys are gay. That's the first thing you should know.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Very sad.
But you and Dr. Drew are not.
Well, one of us is.
No.
And I ain't going to say which one. But he wears glasses.
Oh.
Here's the point.
Okay.
I would say to him, what's up?
Okay.
And if he's very casual about it, doesn't bat an eye and says, Larry sent that to me and I saved it to send ahead to Stu because it's kind of a goof.
Okay.
Then let it go. But if he starts fidgeting and looking down,
getting
and saying,
angry,
what's the big deal?
Yeah.
What are we doing, snooping? That's a bad and a weird sign. Because here's the thing, and Drew and I have discussed this multiple times, and it sounds sort of I don't know, bigoted or something. But the reality is straight guys should not be able to tolerate visually. Acts of homosexuality, we are repulsed by it. Doesn't mean I don't have gay friends. I don't. No. I have a couple gay friends. I got no problem with them. I love the gays. But when you see a picture of a guy penetrating another guy, it should make you want to bring up bile.
I just wanted to see the wet pink stick.
It is repugnant to straight guys. I mean, it's one of those. You know, I'm not squeamish, but I have to put my hand up if there's any gay porn like that.
What is that?
I don't know, but I take it as a good sign. I mean, when you're a straight guy and you see another guy giving it to another guy, whether it's oral or from behind, that hand has to go up.
But you, I mean, you always talk about
disgusting
moving along the aisles at the porn shop.
Oh, train wreck.
And what happens?
I'm going to sue him.
If what? Well, you're in the big jugs category.
I go from the big jugs category, and then you start sliding into the gay porn section, but you don't know it.
Yeah.
You don't know it.
Until?
You've entered the brown abyss of gay porn. Until it's too late. Yeah. You've processed it. It's like taking a swig out of the milk that's gone bad. It's too late. It's already in the mouth.
But why did you
should have read the date?
What is it that there's so such an aversive reaction, guys?
I don't know.
It's not. It's not. And people go, "Oh, you're just frightened. You're not mad." It's not a fear reaction.
No, no. It's not.
It's like it's a disgust.
No, and it's really got no. Here's the whole thing. Said it many times. Wish I was gay. Got no problem with the gays.
You'd be great. You'd be great.
Love the gays.
And I wish you could stop bothering me about having that kind of relationship. I've told you, I'm not open for it.
If you would just have a couple of wine coolers and stop judging, maybe we could get somewhere.
Judge not, lest ye be.
Here's my point. Let's think about the gays. What do I? First off, they're not polluting the planet with their horrible children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got a bunch of, you know, 17-year-old gangbangers crapping out kids to the point where we can't support them. You know, they don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Number two, all they do is pay taxes for other people's kids to go to school mm-hmm. and go to the library and drive on the roads and everything. Meanwhile, they rarely tax the system.
Right.
Okay. They recycle like hell.
They usually are very productive.
Totally productive. The car's always got a fresh coat of carnauba wax on them. The lawn of the house looks like someone took tweezers and one of those nasal hair snippers to it. Manicured. Their homes look like the country clubs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't see the gay guy with the El Camino up on blocks and the sofa rotting out on the porch. Oh no, sirree, Bob. No, the gay guy takes care of the house. Takes care of the community, very civically minded, not violent.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't worry about the gay guy putting a knife in you at the ATM, and doesn't pollute the world with the crappy kids, and recycles, and is very cares about the environment, civically minded.
Oh, very creative.
No problem with that, and leaves all the chicks for me. So, I got no problem with the gays. But, when you see them cornholing, you want to vomit.
Now, what?
Thank you.
I wonder if Barbara has had any suspicions about her boyfriend. You think?
She may have. But you talk so much now, we got to take a commercial break.
All right.
We'll get back. We'll ask her. All right. Barbara?
Yes.
Has he ever led you to believe?
Hello?
Does he drink? Yes. Does he drink a lot of diet soda?
No, he doesn't. No. He doesn't drink soda that much at all.
What's he drink besides semen?
He drinks mainly water, and he drinks a lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee.
That's a good sign.
Coffee
just
and
regular
water.
Regular coffee or like non-fat lattes?
No, regular coffee.
Have you been concerned that he had a sexual orientation different than what you expected?
I have before because because he trimmed his body hair and he trimmed his armpit.
Metrosexual. Could be metrosexual.
And you don't care you never asked him to do
Wait,
that.
How old is he?
He's 41.
What kind of bathing suit does he wear?
I have never seen him in bathing suit.
Uh-huh. What kind of car does he drive?
He drives a Mitsubishi Eclipse. I think that's what it's called.
Convertible?
Yes, it's convertible.
Oh boy. Oh.
Wow.
What does that mean?
Are you sitting down? It's not a good thing.
All right, we will have to keep going, Barbara. Barbara, hold on. We'll get back to you.
The Mitsubishi.
A good question. I thought the Eclipse, he had it sealed. And then
Eclipse
then
convertible.
The rag top. Oh, that's it. But all I thought Eclipse first. I thought, that's a...
I didn't even know
it came in a convertible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Gay man turn, get any car in a convertible. Get an armored car. Take a hacksaw. Take the roof right off. Popemobile. Turn that into a convertible. All right. Let's take a break, Drew.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Love Line, madam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Drew, I want to check some temperatures around the Southland real quick.
Can we save it for the lightning hour?
Well, we are going to have a lightning round, but I just want to, you know, let folks know that La Puente is checking in at 63.
Oh, good.
And La Mirada, 63. Ventura County, 63. Carson, Banning area, 60. San Fernando?
75?
63. El Cajon, 63. Van Nuys, 63. Reseda, 63 degrees. Linwood, 63. Northridge, Chatsworth, Norco, 63. Sherman Oaks, 63 degrees. Pasadena, 63. Your hometown, Drew, checking in. 63.
Heard you have to watch out for taillights.
Yeah, yeah, watch out. Slow and go. And Cheviot Hills, Panorama 7, 63, 63 degrees. All right, so we'll keep you posted on that.
Good times.
If anything changes, we'll get back with you.
Barbara, so, Barbara.
Yeah.
She's concerned about her boyfriend, who's 41, because he shaves his body hair.
Found gay porn.
And recent
he drives
documents.
A convertible Eclipse.
Oof.
Right.
All right. So, Barbara, why don't you just confront him? Confront him about what you found. And here's what you need to say to him.
Okay.
You need to say, listen, homo. No, you need to say, whatever you are is cool with me. But I want to know. And you should want me to know. And we should want to move accordingly.
And when he says he's gay, you freak out and cry and scream. But right. Listen, mm-hmm. Has he ever been married?
Me? No, I have never.
Him?
Oh, he has. And he has two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with that marriage?
He was married 9 years.
What happened with the marriage?
I broke it up.
Ooh.
Uh huh.
So he did you work
with
him?
He started dating me, and he started the divorcing paper like 2 months after.
Are you a Mormon? Ooh. How did you guys start? How
did
you meet?
Be good. They must have worked together.
Minka?
I'm sorry?
How did you guys meet?
We used to work together.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Who saw that one coming? All right.
Huh.
Go ahead and ask him.
That does not sound like somebody with sexual orientation
problems.
Yeah,
because if you're with your sort of beard of a wife.
Yeah, you don't
go out
with
let's put it this way. You're with your beard of a wife. You guys have been together for 9 years. You got a couple of kids. Your whole plan is, I'll keep a little status quo going on. Meanwhile, I'm going to San Francisco on business for the third time this month.
Right.
And I'm hanging out in a bathhouse by the glory hole.
Right. However,
no, I'm talking about
that's
me.
What you do.
I'm talking about me.
Okay,
that's got nothing to do with this call.
I understand. But it could be a guy with a lot of chaos. Could be a really troubled guy.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so, anyway.
Confront him. All right. It's time to play a little game we call Germany or Florida. You give us the wacky question or read us the wacky statement. Could be a crime. Could be a suicide.
Brian, get on with it.
Things are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you. Germany or Florida.
Yeah.
That's from last night.
That's our song.
Oh, man.
All right, Brian?
Yeah.
All right, Germany or Florida. Go ahead.
All right. A teacher is charged with 2 accounts of civil animal cruelty when she beat the class pets, which were 2 small, like, baby rabbits, sickly baby rabbits, mm-hmm. in front of her, like, whole student class with a shovel.
So she was killing the rabbits because they were sickly.
Yeah, she beat them with a shovel in front of her class.
Right, but
the story doesn't hang together, right?
It's not hanging together, but what she's what the thing is the rabbits were sick or diseased and needed to be put down.
Right.
And she did it with the shovel. Sounds like Germany to me.
Yeah.
Drew?
I'm with you.
You have to say Germany.
Germany.
You can't just say yes.
Germany.
Do you understand the question?
Germany.
Germany.
So you're all going for Germany?
Yes, we are.
Oh, Germany. I'm sorry, it was Florida.
Oh!
Oh, my.
Smarts. Thanks for calling, Brian. I'm going to send you out a windbreaker. How's that song go again, Anderson?
Things are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you. Germany or Florida.
That's the best we could do. All right, let's...
Is that for a break?
No, not yet. Allie?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, me and my boyfriend, we've been going out for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, every time we're having sex, it starts to smell really bad down there.
Are you a Mormon?
No, I'm not.
No, not a Mormon. Okay.
I am not in any religion.
100%.
I know. And when Anderson drops that, are you a Mormon, drop of Drew's in there, we're 100% on the answering. No one gets confused. Okay. Everyone just says no.
No.
Or
yes.
Or sometimes yes.
The last girl just ignored it. That's why I had to play it again.
I see. Anderson's got to think of ways to entertain himself over there. All right. So
we got to talk to Allie after the break.
We do.
Yeah.
All right. You calling in from the Yucaipa area, Allie?
Yes.
Yeah. You guys are checking in at 63. Okay.
Palm Springs?
63. It's all 63.
Palm Desert?
63. Mm-hmm. Greater Desert? 63.
Big Bear?
63. Take a quick break. Get some more weather reports, and we'll get to Allie and her vagina after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Burt McCracken from The Used. Benji from Good Charlotte in here tomorrow night. It's going to be a pain in my ass.
Why?
You know.
Rock stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've both been in before, right?
Yeah.
Nice guys. Well, Benji comes in a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, you got to work a little more.
I see.
I got to ask him questions.
Yeah, yeah. That's bad. Bad times.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I may have to show up before the show starts?
No. No, please. Don't go that far.
Well, I do like to get here before it actually starts, but this may be...
Be fair. Your goal is to get here as it actually starts.
Right.
Yeah. So don't put
Can't always
out.
Time it
yeah.
right, though. Tonight.
You're way early.
Tonight I got here like 14 minutes early.
No, he's like 4 minutes early.
No, no. I got here... You were in the other room with Stryker. Oh, I got here like 14 minutes early.
Wow.
So. I'm going to be splitting at 11:45.
Oh, that's cool.
If that's...
You check know, the weather and the traffic before you go.
I got my two-hour kind of thing,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, I get it.
So, you understand how that works? Mm-hmm. It slides forward?
That's all right.
I might be splitting, like, mid-call somewhere in the last break. All right. Allie?
Yeah.
So right. You got a little stinky down there?
Yeah, I do. It's really weird because I went to the doctor and they said it was perfectly fine.
This is a new problem, though. You've never smelled like this before.
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
No,
you've never have smelled like this before.
No, I never have.
Sounds like a great, like a Dionne Warwick song.
I mean, it's very...
No, I'll never smell like this before, but I try. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's perfect.
I love that song.
And has he been sexually active with other people before?
One other person, but that was years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's still
years.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 18.
How many years ago could it have been?
Well, we've been going out for 2 years, so.
All right.
He was a zygote at the time.
All right. Now, what about the fact that, you know, that vagina's like a smelly snow globe that just gets shaken up? You know what I mean? It gets all agitated down there, and it releases everything. You know what it's like? It's like take an old pillow and just smack your hand on it a couple of times. All of a sudden, you smell Grandpa's hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. There's that possibility. And there's also a possibility that maybe he's harbored something for a while, like Trichomonas or Gardnerella, one of these things. And it might not be a bad idea for your doctor or whoever's treating you to try some antibiotic creams just to see. Yeah, just take some Metrogel cream.
But also, doesn't it stir it up? For lack of a better term.
I agree with you. No, yes.
I mean, just first off, just, you know, blood rushing to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what blood rushing to something does, but it creates heat, you know, and
hey,
then
look,
there's perspiration.
The whole purpose of it was to mark the partner. There's supposed to be a special font.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the gals would know...
To stay away.
To stay away from me because that's what my thing smelled like?
Because you got her funk on it.
Really?
Although... Knowing the way human females operate, it probably would be like honey for bees.
Yeah, they'd want to just cover the paint over their funk with their new funk. I'm going to try that.
Oh, my.
That's my new thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeff?
Yep. Jeff?
Yep.
26?
Yeah.
Calling from Salt Lake City. You know, that begs the question, Drew.
Go ahead, Drew. Do it yourself.
Are you Mormon?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, Anderson, why can't you do...
Because I wasn't prepared at all.
All right, buddy.
My back was to the board.
True,
but
himself.
I did a pretty good imitation, didn't I? Bang-up job.
You were like 90% of you.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Are you Mormon? Are you Mormon?
Yes.
All right.
We'll get him.
Yeah, we got him. All right, Jeff, go ahead.
Okay. Am I on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what did you want? Do you want me to explain the situation? Or?
Please do.
Yeah. First, we just got to get just a little bit of history, like your religion.
Are you a Mormon?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. And once we can, once we check that box off,
okay,
we can move forward. Drew, your headphones weren't. Are your headphones up? I asked him about his religion.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't hear the answer.
Oh.
He answered yes.
Oh, even Anderson can't.
No,
do
we
it.
Can't because I don't want. I like the 100% thing.
All right.
We're pushing
our
luck here.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Anderson, don't worry about whose luck we're pushing.
It's my luck.
Right, Jeff, what's happening? Tell us.
Well, my wife and I, we got married 4.5 years ago. A month before we got married, she was going through a lot of stress, planning for the wedding. We both were virgins. And she was worried because she had two sexually active friends who were telling her that sex was horrible and she wasn't going to like it, which was stupid because they were doing it and they loved it. Mm-hmm. But they convinced her that it wasn't good. She got on birth control and Accutane exactly a month before we got married. And the next day, there was just no sexual response whatsoever.
Mm.
She had no feelings. She just cannot bring herself to be turned on by me.
But it's only
associated with me.
Well, hold on now. Well, wait a minute. Now, are you guys married now? Now you're married?
Yes.
And how long have you been married?
4.5 years.
And you associate her shutdown with going on Accutane and the birth control pill?
That's what I assumed. We saw a marriage counselor, and she said that it was probably all of the stress and that stuff involved. And she didn't want to be on birth control.
All right.
But she also, she was worried that she might have zits on her wedding day and wanted to be on Accutane.
So did she stop all that?
On the birth control without. We dropped all that right after.
So in spite of being off the medicines, she still has no sex drive?
None whatsoever, but just for me.
So she has a sex drive, but she can't be aroused by you.
Yes.
Is she in love with you?
She is. We've been seeing a marriage counselor and a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist suggested separation.
Why?
Possibly divorce.
Why?
He said it would take the stress off of her mind. There would be no pressure. She wouldn't be expected to perform.
No.
There's something
missing here.
Yeah, something missing.
Let me talk to him, Drew.
Well, first of all, psychiatrists, therapists have no business telling you what to do. And nor would they under in a million years say, break up so you don't feel the stress of the possibility of sexual
encounter.
Unless
she was saying, like, I never loved him, I don't love him,
Yeah.
All right.
Just one question. Does your wife see this psychiatrist by herself, or do you always see it in couple sessions?
We went together for the first couple of sessions, and then she started going by herself.
And is this her report about what the psychiatrist says she's supposed to do?
The psychiatrist said separate.
Her report of that, or did you hear the psychiatrist? Did those words come out of the psychiatrist's mouth in your presence?
Oh, that was her report of what he said.
Right. That did not happen.
I tried that.
That did not happen.
I did that, too. I came back to my wife. Yeah, he wants me to receive copious amounts of fellatio from strangers. really? That's what he said? Yeah. Hand of God.
But by the way,
he said he wouldn't repeat it if you asked him, so don't bother.
That sort of distortion, that sort of distortion from caretakers is a bad sign. That's a personality disorder.
Well, hold on a second. Let me talk to Drew.
Yeah.
In the privacy of our own crap room here. Is she okay, now. We can assume that the caregiver, the psychiatrist or psychologist, didn't say
divorce.
Said
nothing like that. They said nothing like that.
Well, no, but they can say things like, well, why did you marry him in the first place?
No, what they can say is, well, what are you going to do?
That's why they get the big bucks. But here's the point. Maybe she wants out. Maybe she's not distorting it.
Yeah, maybe she's not telling him the whole story.
Maybe she's intentionally distorting it. to say, look, this guy's got a degree hanging on the wall, and he thinks we shouldn't be together.
Yes,
so but maybe we should listen.
But if she were saying that as sort of a volitional thing, it means she's kind of up to something, and she shouldn't have got married in the first place. It's a sinister thing.
It's unclear.
If she's doing it as a result of distortion, it means she can't have relationships, and she can't be intimate. She's an abuse survivor, and she needs to hang in and work on
it. They've been married for 4 years plus?
Yeah.
Are they ever having sex? Are they ever?
Well, have they ever? Is
Jeff?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had sex?
We had a pretty weak sex life for the first 3 years, and then we haven't. We went a year without. We've been without.
All right, so let me ask some.
She had an affair a year ago, and since then we've had none.
Well, now we're inching closer to the truth.
Yeah.
And why did she have an affair? Did she tell you? And how did you find out? Or did she tell you? You know, did she let you find out, or did you find out on your own?
Actually, I joined the military, and I was in basic training, and I came home, and that's when she told me. It was while I was gone.
And was it because she didn't want to feel? What was the, what's the excuse they use? I don't want to.
I don't want to hide anything.
Yes, I don't. You need to know. I can't hide this from you.
Look. Jeff, I'm sorry to say this, but this is sounding like there's a bicycle built for two, and one person is pedaling, and the other person's got their legs up on the bars, and you're the one who's pedaling.
Yeah.
And her thing is like, look, this ain't costing me anything, it ain't burning any calories, I don't care, but I am getting sort of bored. Eventually you're going to tire, aren't you, and I can just get off. This is sort of like, I want a divorce. I'm really not going to initiate the divorce. I'll just do everything to get you to divorce me. I'll tell you the shrink said to get divorced. I'll have an affair. I'll stop having sex with you. And eventually, aren't you going to get tired of pedaling this two-person bicycle? Well, Jeff isn't getting tired. And you should maybe be tired by now,
but
Jeff.
But also, that kind of codependency is usually someone who needs to caretake, which means, again, that the reason she's not peddling is not just that she wants out, but she can't tolerate intimacy.
Yes.
And was she an abuse survivor, Jeff?
Was she abused? No.
Huh?
He doesn't.
No, she was spoiled.
Yeah. What does that mean?
She grew up with a lot of money, everything she wanted.
Okay.
Is she doing drugs or alcohol or anything?
No.
I don't know. I'm not sure why you two decided to get married in the first place.
Are you a Mormon?
Yes.
Okay, you are. Okay, we've established that. Okay, here's the thing, Jeff. Do you have any children, or would that be impossible?
We do have a daughter.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah, she was quite a surprise, too.
Yeah. Okay, so I think what you need to do, here's what you need to do, Jeff. Drew, stop me if you disagree.
Okay.
But first you got to wake up. Okay. Drew thinks better with his eyes closed, his mouth hanging open, and drool coming out. Mm-hmm. Here's what you need to do. You need to say, I'm going to the shrink with you. We're going to attend together. And you need to sit down with that shrink and say, look, I need to know where we're at. I mean, we have a daughter. I don't want to get divorced. But we're not having sex. You had an affair. It doesn't feel like you're in love with me. I'm prepared to hear the truth, whatever it is. And then whatever she says, that's what she's feeling, and that's what you need to act on. And the
therapist or psychiatrist has got to
help facilitate.
Facilitate it. Make sure, you know, you got to be making sure you're hearing the whole story.
But Jeff, when you say, "Look, do you love me or not?" and she goes, "Well," that means no.
And if you go, "Do you want to stay in this thing or not? Do you want to work this out?"
Well, that means no too.
Yeah.
Unless you're getting affirmative answers like, yes, I do,
but
yes, I love you.
It's more complicated
than
that, though, because I'm feeling this woman is very disturbed.
I do, too.
And that being the case,
all right,
you know, he's got to decide, is he in for this long haul or not?
No, the affair thing.
Yeah,
I mean, they're practically newlyweds.
Chaos.
What are you saying, chaos?
Chaos. Are you Mormon?
Maybe let's role play. I'm going to talk to Nikki over here. Nikki?
Yes?
20?
Yes.
What's up?
I have kind of two questions that go along with the... my second one goes along with the first one. My first question is how healthy are fetishes?
Yeah.
Like, is it healthy to have a relationship that will end in marriage, and, you know, is it healthy to keep that going after you're married, or, you know,
the
is
fetish?
It like a fun, yes.
Well, once they start, they ain't stopping.
Yeah, I know that.
So you can't stop it after you get married. It's going to keep going.
But
true.
It
would you
to have them?
Well, look, first off, sort of depends.
Yeah, for one thing, it is. Well, yeah, it's what it is. It's a fetish generally is a sign that you have trouble being intimate, but it's kind of like, it's like your blankie. It's like a transitional object. It's like a way
of blankie, your huggy boogie.
Your huggy boogie. It's a way of feeling comfortable when you feel in situations that make you feel overwhelmed. It's a way of focusing that anxiety,
mm-hmm.
so you can function sexually.
Yeah,
it's not a good sign. It's a mean you have something's going on.
Yeah,
but if it lets you function and doesn't interfere with intimacy too much, whatever. But most of the time, it gets in the way of intimacy, and it means something that you makes it difficult for you to have intimacy.
Right, but now what about the fetish? I'm going to liken it to any other addictive substance in that it's a glass of wine after work.
Yeah,
and
it builds.
That's it. But it doesn't spin out. It doesn't gather momentum.
Yeah, whatever.
Then it's the same as the guy who drinks a glass of wine and never turns into the full-fledged alcoholic.
Right.
Probably better that he didn't do it,
mm-hmm.
but he does it,
whatever.
And he's fine.
Yeah.
He's holding his job.
And by the way, he's with somebody who can't be terribly intimate, too, but it works for them.
Right. It gets a little freaky when the kid's four comes into the bedroom and daddy's wearing the leather hood with the zipper where the mouth was.
And an enema bag hanging.
An enema bag, full, heaping enema bag strapped to him.
Like
and he's where he's got the gimp ball around his mouth.
That's what the zipper where the mouth is.
That's the gimp mask.
Oh, my God.
What are you guys into?
Well, it's nothing that severe. We just started role-playing and, you know, spanking, tying up, you know.
Right.
He's 15 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's been into it. He started having sex when he was 18. So he's been into it since then. And I've never really asked him why. I never really was into it before I met him, but I have no problem with it.
Is there anything else you want to tell us about his experimentation in the past?
Like what?
You tell me. You got?
You're digging for something. Okay. What is it?
Hold on a second. Hold on. She said you're looking for something.
I hear a guy.
Okay, let me just float this.
Yeah.
When I hear those guys are like into a little bondage, a little S&M, I think bi, too. I can always go the dude route.
That's what I was gonna write that down. I was gonna write that down right there.
Well, you don't need it. You got a microphone right in front of you.
Well, I was gonna. No.
Oh, you wrote gay. Yeah. All right, but here's the thing. I don't know why. There's something. Well, because see, like whenever you go, first off, when you see the gay parade,
So a lot of that stuff. A
lot of the bondage. Yeah. You guys, don't worry. Your respect is coming it's just around the corner, all you guys, with the nipple clamps dragging your gimp partner down the street who's wearing the Doc Martens and the thong, studded thong back. Don't worry. You'll get that respect you so richly deserve. It's just around the corner. True society. Just this close to embracing the guy with the handlebar mustache. And the studded butt crack strap going out there being dragged by the nipple. Yeah, just it's coming, gays. It's right around the corner. If we could only loosen up a little bit, Drew.
Relax. Here we go.
Okay, here's my point. The gay guys are into the bondage stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
They like that. They like the leather wear. And whenever I hear about a guy who's in the bondage scene a little bit, I just think gay.
It makes
because,
you think
because
it.
Because when I think straight guy, you know what he like? You know what our fetish is?
Missionary.
We like doing it.
Yeah, whatever. No.
We like some jugs and some ass and, you know, Kate, it's a little rough tray, ass slapping.
Anything that gets in the way
in
of the female form
but, yeah,
is a distraction.
Just other things are straight. Yeah. Like, here's the fetishes we're into. Big jugs, a second chick. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, can I watch you two get it on for a minute before I come in and polish you off? Like, that kind of stuff.
Right, that's the guy, straight guy. But listen, there's something about Nikki that just made me think that, too.
Nikki?
And the 35-year-old with the 20-year-old.
Nikki?
Yes?
Was he ever bi?
Yes, he was.
How do we know that?
I don't... Oh, hold on a second. I want the entire listening public to kiss both our asses right now because it's really... the screen says 35-year-old guy, 20-year-old chick, and she's pregnant.
Which right? we didn't talk about.
We didn't talk about that, but it says she's pregnant. They like the role play. Yeah. And that's about it.
Normal fetish. That's
she's calling from Kansas City. Kansas City, 34 year old guy, and pregnant.
We came up with bisexual.
Smelled bi to me. All right.
But there's something about Nikki, too, that keeps me in.
Yeah. I don't know what we're responding to, Nikki. You got a little fag hag in you?
Me? No.
Okay. All right. Now, do you trust this guy because he is or was bi? Does that mean he can pop back?
He hasn't been since before he was my age.
So he was bi when he was 17, 18?
No, he was gay then.
He was gay? I mean, that...
He
right,
was gay.
Right. Then. But that's just, he was sexually abused?
I don't know. I've never asked him.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I really don't. You can pretty much count on that.
I know his family pretty well, though, but it's, you know, they're not very open.
Yeah, well...
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. You're going to have a kid with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to marry him?
Mm-hmm.
And he has a regular job and everything?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Have a little fun.
Just don't. This is going to spin a bit. There's going to be all sorts of other things that spin out of this. Keep it contained. Keep it right here. Don't let it spin.
And here's the other thing, too. He's 35.
Yeah.
He's not 23.
I know.
You know, if he was 23, he'd have a good 10 years of acting out ahead of him. Maybe he's...
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. It's way safer at 35 and less of an issue, boss. I mean, whatever. It's good times.
Takes
all kinds.
I don't judge. Anyone listening to the show knows that's not my place. I say live and let live. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak to Mark on 4 different meds for panic attacks. Thinks they're messing him up.
No.
No?
Minus. How about 4?
4. John. Girlfriend was tight first time they did it. Now she's loose. Second time. Cheating? Perhaps. After this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LA-LA-LA-LA.
Nice.
All right. This poor Mark, he's been on hold for 109 minutes.
I know, I wanted to take him next.
All right, well, let's just take him.
All right.
Hey, Mark.
Oh, hi, how's it going?
Hey, good, buddy. Listen, you're going to land on your feet.
Hold on a second, Mark.
Let's
hold
keep
on.
It moving now.
Come on, let's deal with the problem. Come on.
I talked to him for 4 seconds. He's been on hold for 104 minutes.
It's a nice symmetry there, but let's finish.
All right, Mark, I like you, buddy.
Oh, good, great. I like listening to you guys, too.
Thanks, Mark.
What's up?
Well, I've had a panic disorder since I was about 14 years old. I'm now 21, and about a year and a half ago, I had to drop out of college just because I couldn't sit through my classes and would make guttural noises when I was having panic attacks, and it's just too disruptive for me and for the other students.
And when you make guttural noises when you're having a panic attack, what does that sound like?
It's a grunting sound, like, sort of like I'm, you know, choking for air. And
Wow. Speaking of choking for air, I just blew a little gas over Drew's direction. Chris likes a nice fart.
I have been on medication since about 15, usually just an SSRI and taking a benzo as needed. At college, the psychiatrist put me on Celexa and Klonopin long term. When I left college, I saw a new psychiatrist who kind of added a lot more to that regimen, which I've been on now for about a year or so.
What are you taking?
I'm taking Paxil at 20 milligrams, Ativan at 2 milligrams a day, Klonopin...
2 milligrams once a day?
What's that?
1 milligram twice a day?
No, 4 times throughout the day I take 0.5 milligrams.
Okay, keep going.
And Klonopin at 0.75 milligrams, I take 0.25 milligrams 3 times a day. And then in the evening, I take 50 milligrams of Seroquel, which is officially classified as an antipsychotic, but at the level I'm taking it, is supposedly therapeutic.
What else?
OCD.
What else?
It's like a pharmacist.
That's it, the Paxil.
Okay, and what's your question?
Seroquel. Basically, just... I'm worried about staying on the medication just because I'm worried about the problems that the benzos can cause as far as memory loss. And I'm also very terrified of going down on the medication just because at the time I started it, things became more stable in my life, and I sort of associate this current regimen of medication with the stability in my life, and I know that going down on benzos can...
What do you mean by stable? What does stable mean?
Basically, my parents have become much more understanding of anxiety. They don't respond with anger to the anxiety anymore.
Okay.
I've been living at home instead of going to college for the last year and a half, so I've had a much more stress-free environment.
Imagine Mark's Duke smells like Robitussin.
What's that?
B12, yeah.
Yeah. Does your bowel movements smell like a medicine cabinet?
No.
Drew told me to say that. Hey, Mark, well, let me say a couple things. First off, sorry for your panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you're clearly an intelligent guy.
Yeah. That's probably a problem is that I'm overly intelligent. I was going to William & Mary, which is a pretty stressful college, pretty prestigious college.
Yeah. Here's the problem. Let me tell you the problem with being smart in this side. Does not translate into 1 ounce of poontang, number one. Not 1 ounce. Not 1 ounce. Actually... hurts you a little bit in the poontang department.
It's a little bit hard for me to hear you. One ounce of what? What?
No, don't take that. Mark thinks he's getting on another some more meds. Listen, all I'm saying is you're a smart guy, and Drew, who's had a panic attack or two in his day, might have some insights to this. But it sounds like he's seeing his doctors and doing every whatever regimen they put in front of him.
All right, there's a couple of sort of suggestions I would make.
Yeah.
Number, and I need a little bit more information first. Is there alcoholism or addiction in your family anywhere?
On my dad's side, there is alcoholism. I have been extremely careful as far as I've not had a sip of alcohol since I've been on the medication.
Is your dad an alcoholic?
No.
Okay. Because that's obviously the one risk with the benzodiazepine is that you get addicted to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound like you are, frankly. And they are reasonable interventions for a bad panic disorder. But you want to be on them as short as you can. And I would have as a goal tapering off of them. Seroquel, hang on.
All right, quiet down.
Hang on. Seroquel, on the other hand, can be used in much higher doses with great efficacy with what you've got. I mean, you could be taking 200, 300, or 400 milligrams a day of that to help with some of these, the agitation, the extreme panic, and the sleep problems. It sounds like that's more the direction you ought to be going, is off the benzos, up on the Seroquel, and then get in some individual psychotherapy, because much of this panic comes from self-deficiencies.
Really? All right, Drew.
Yeah.
What about... exercise.
Yep, all good. And he needs to re-engage in life. He's going to become very dependent on his parents. Your life should be beginning, not now, not ending with this dependency. In order for you to make that separation, though, again, you're going to need a therapeutic process.
All right. How about a therapist? How about jogging 4 miles every morning, doing 100 push-ups?
Yep.
How about listening to some classical music?
Absolutely.
Always good for
off the benzos, up the Seroquel.
I got Germany or Florida over here, Drew. I got to get back on this horse because I've been firing about 50% on these lately. Sam?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes, sir.
Well, stay tuned for the Germany or Florida theme song first.
Okay.
All right.
I think Anderson's now getting passive-aggressive. He's not going to play it just because you want it to play.
No, I don't think he's in the room.
Anderson's gone right now.
Except that was Anderson.
Was that Anderson?
Things are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you, Germany or Florida.
Yeah. There it is. So go ahead with your Germany or Florida, Sam.
Okay. For the past decade, children age 11 and older have attended a week-long clothing-free summer camp run by an organization that promotes nude recreation. A prominent country official read in a nationally distributed newspaper about the incident and asked, "What the hell's wrong with you parents?"
Mm-hmm.
A spokesman replied, "Kids are natural nudists. It's so cute to see naked babies and toddlers."
Mm-hmm.
But as we mature, somehow that is no longer seen as a wholesome, healthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Having these a-holes watch the young children and think it's a lovely thing is the problem here.
Come on. Yeah. All right.
Florida.
Hey, Florida, I'm going Germany.
All right. Split.
It was actually Lando Lakes, Florida.
Man. Thanks, buddy. 0 for 2 tonight. Drew's
cried out Florida for somehow.
Florida's a nudist, a good nudist place.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Germans are into that stuff,
too. Oh, I know,
too.
But the whole the pedophilic quality to it. Germans are just into the weird and macabre. This had a purpose. This was a...
Yeah.
This is, you know, here's the thing with Americans. Americans believe their own BS.
Yeah.
The Germans don't BS. They yeah. Just, they're just weird. This is like, oh, isn't it lovely and natural? To, give me a stop.
Yeah. No, yeah. Americans, that's that same... We're talking about the toxins building up in your colon, and it's natural to be.
We do crazy things, and then we justify it with total BS. And we buy it.
Right.
Cannot judge.
We cannot. We cannot. Because everything's the same. John?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yep.
Your girlfriend was tight the first time you had sex with her?
Yeah.
And now she's loose?
Well, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You may have yoked her out?
What?
They call that yoking.
Define yoking.
Yeah.
For those of us that aren't mechanically inclined.
I would call, once in a while, you know, sometimes you take a drill bit and you just drill a hole in something.
Yeah.
And sometimes you take the drill bit, you drop it in, and then you move it around like an oval shape. You know what I mean? You're yoking it out. So we call it yoked out. That's what we always call it.
Yeah, that's the time of the John's girlfriend, huh?
Yeah. Did you move the drill bit around or did you just drop it in?
We moved it all around.
There you go.
All right. So what do you think? She may be cheating on you?
Yeah, I'm kind of suspecting it. I mean...
Guaranteed. Yeah. Okay,
John, look, that is ridiculous. Women, when they're tighter, it's because they're nervous. Now that she's probably relaxed, you're getting her normal tone.
How she is with the other dudes. Yeah. How long has it been? You had sex for the first time, and then when was the second time?
Well, we've had sex, like, a long time. We've been for about 4 or 5 months now, and, like, 2 weeks ago, we had it. It was good, and then, like, a week ago, it was a lot different.
All right. John, what are you, you heading toward junior college? You actually in junior college, or you may be past it? You may be into doing something involving metal.
I'm just working full-time. I have saving up for college and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Doing what?
Working full-time.
Doing what?
Working on a casino.
On a casino?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Just basically public relations, greeting, promotions, everything.
For a casino?
Yeah.
When you say on a casino, we think you're like a construction
worker.
You're
doing roofing. Yeah.
No.
You're working for the casino?
Yeah.
Are you Indian? North American
no.
Indian?
Yeah, no, hey. Yache, 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 kanahe,
kunahe,
tese. Okay. And public relations. It means you're handing out Tipperillos at the door or something, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. Well, your girlfriend's not cheating. All right. John sounds like such a delight. Aren't 18-year-old guys the best?
Dynamic. Dynamic is the word that came. Just jumped into my mind.
I hate guys. Working at the, it's in Fresno. Oh, they got Indian gaming over there?
They must.
Yeah. Let me just reiterate something to the kids that are listening. Gambling, wrong. It is wrong. Unless you're playing the lottery.
Horses.
Or the horses or...
football? Oh, no, wait. That's
wrong.
That's very wrong.
That's wrong. But dogs, no
good.
Problems there. Mm-hmm. And then blackjack's wrong, but Pai Gow and Texas Hold'em, that's fine.
In tournaments,
it all just makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
it all makes perfect sense.
Yeah, idiots. Not arbitrary.
No, it's the government, but they're stupid. Jesus Christ!
We do the same thing with drugs and alcohol, by the way. It's the same kind of crazy logic or non-logic.
I understand that, but at least. I don't know. To me, that has more of a downside. Although being addicted to gambling is a horrible thing, and it ruins arguably as many lives as drugs, although probably not quite as many.
Yeah, but it's not clear that making certain things legal and certain things illegal do a damn thing.
Right.
Prohibition, generally not a great strategy.
I'm just insulted by the constant lottery commercials that are played when you're really just taking money out of poor ethnics, really.
We're going to support the schools.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. The schools out here, oh my goodness, they are a wonderland of education. Yeah.
And those that infrastructure.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Sparkling.
That's the whole thing. I mean, you know, the lottery's just for a bunch of toothless retards using their, you know, government cheese money to go down in their house coat and slippers and drop $5 on a dream. And by the way, I don't like the message that the lottery sends. The government should not be sponsoring hey, here's your ticket out of the hell known as your life. The government's message should be, look, join in, work hard, don't F up, pay your taxes, and you know what? You can have a pretty damn good life. Not the, here's your shot out of this S house known as your life. Mm-hmm. That's what it's saying. The people that buy lottery tickets are saying, I don't think I'm going to do it on my own. I think if I'm going to get lucky, otherwise I'm going to be cooking off this hot plate living in the Roach Motel for the rest of my life. And the idea that the government gladly sells lottery tickets to people that should be putting that money toward their children or, more importantly, dental care for themselves is really, it's reprehensible. It's sort of despicable. I mean, if they I'm sure they've done profiles on what their average lottery buyer looks like here, especially in the Los Angeles area. And these are guys that are living under the poverty level and have less than a 10th grade education and are making minimum wage if they're working at all.
Lightning round?
I'm too angry at the government now. Right. Is that what? Listen, thank you. The only way we're going to be. Hey, you want to support our school, don't you?
Give us beer nuts over here.
Yeah. Drew, you want to eat while I'm on a rant?
I do. I want to sit and enjoy.
Well, what kind of message is this, too? Hey, you don't want our schools to go to hell in a basket? How about we work a society where we sort of focus on the schools and maybe prioritize a little? It's not just welfare.
More music.
Hey, if some of you get off your ass and buy a few lottery tickets, maybe we can get the kids a gymnasium. If not, we'll have to cancel all the after-school programs.
Oh, well.
Yeah. How about that? All right, Drew. Now you eating has got me off my roll.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't like you sitting there eating while I waste my precious breath.
It's so enjoyable, though.
You can't hear correctly when you're chewing.
Bring food every night, Drew.
Why?
Just chew on down, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Drew, you're not against the lottery?
Yeah, very much.
It is despicable, is it not?
I was enjoying your rant. I really was.
Oh, you are?
I wanted to sit and eat and enjoy. Right.
Have a couple more nuts.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll fire myself back up again.
Hey, listen. Think of the person that's buying the lottery ticket. What should the message that guy be receiving? And what should he be doing with that money?
Wash your goddamn feet.
Yeah.
And get to work.
Yeah.
Not, here's another dream that ain't going to come true. But don't worry. Maybe next week. Hey, and keep using that wonderful logic of yours where you take your birth date, your mom's birth date, and the first two letters of your cat that you got drunk and slept on and suffocated the other night. Check the phone, convert those into numbers, and then play those. I like the strategy, by the way.
And by the way, it's playing off
superstitious
strategy. Of the primitive man.
Yes, you've got primitive idiots doing this.
I saw a homeless guy buy $5 worth of change just yesterday at 7-Eleven.
Of course, I'm always standing behind one of these smelly tards that's in their slippers trying to buy a goddamn lottery ticket. It's really, not only does it just sort of congest the convenience stores because you got these idiots standing in front of you, it always takes a long time, too, because the guy's giving the numbers. By the way, the guy who buys the lottery ticket speaks some English, not a whole lot. Whoever's behind the counter at the 7-Eleven speaks no English.
But not the language of the homeless.
Yeah, and between the two of them, it's like it's really like two guys from two different countries, drunk, trying to give directions to the embassy. It's just I'm just standing behind me like, look, here's what I do. How about I leave my wallet here? I just go back get a pack of smokes, or I want to get a six or a beer. Can I just leave the $20? I know you guys. He's pointing at grunting at scratchers. Jesus Christ. Stupid commercials. And by the way, how come the stupid commercials got a bunch of like, stupid commercials? Always the white guy in his 50s who's driving his nice pickup truck into the office. No. That ain't who's buying the tickets, you pussies. It's homeless people. idiots. You're just preying on them. I don't know how many millions they spend each year. Most of it is panhandled or just in the form of government checks that get hammered and then spent back into the school system.
Oh, it's the school sees a ton of that money.
Yeah, yeah. And they're always out of money, and the school's always a dump, and there's nothing we can do about it. And a lovely message to the kids, too. Hey, wait. Have your retarded parents drop a few more bucks on some lottery tickets. Maybe we could buy you some pencils.
Laughing time is over.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, buddy. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Oh, no.
Blah. Nah, I don't got any lightning around in me. I'm too disgusted with this city.
Yeah. Still and
Drew. Drew got me more angry during the commercial break telling me about the lottery and the commercials. Why do they have commercials? They really need commercials? Don't the idiots who buy those tickets, the retards, the unemployable, the vagrants who buy those lottery tickets, don't they know about it?
Yeah.
We got to remind them. Hey, loser, sober up and get your disease-riddled ass off your crappy worked-in sofa and drag your sorry sack out to the liquor store and stand in front of me and smell up the lobby. We gotta have commercials. How about we just let the people buy the tickets who want to buy the tickets? We gotta entice them. Let's get going. Hey, here's something. Here's a nice addictive behavior. Hey, Drew. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
They have cigarette commercials on television.
Evil.
Yeah, can't have one.
Right.
Why?
Because it contributes to addictive behaviors.
They're bad.
Damaging behaviors.
It's damaging.
That's people.
Yeah, it's not good.
Wait a minute. Gambling's a bad thing, too.
Oh.
What?
State runs these lottery, lotto commercials up the wazoo, but they make cigarette ads. Oh, that's illegal.
Well, that's bad. Those are evil.
That's bad. Yeah. Okay. Idiots.
It makes it harder to buy smokes, though, because you got to wait in line.
It is true. The lottery is like an anti-smoking campaign because you have to stand behind really stinky people. Jason?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Basically, I went to the doctor today, and because I noticed last two times I masturbated, there was like blood in my semen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the doctor, and he basically did like a urine analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And like a checkup, I didn't find anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But and, like he said, it was something like some males get it, like some anemia type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like where blood gets in your semen, they don't really have an explanation for it, but it's not that bad.
Drew, remember when you had that scare about the blood in your semen, and then it turned out to be the other dude's semen?
Yeah, it was
and
quite a relief.
Yeah,
yes.
Real sigh of relief.
Jason, where are we going with this?
Well, basically, like, he seemed kind of hokey, so I was wondering, like, basically, Drew, what you knew about it. Also,
about,
he said that I could go ahead and just keep being, like, sexual and stuff.
About blood? Your question is, what does blood in the semen mean?
Well,
yes.
Okay, 99% of the time, it means nothing. So your doctor's absolutely right. It can occasionally mean something. It's worth getting a blood count. It's worth them checking your testes and worth them maybe doing your analysis, these sorts of things. But that's just kind of fishing around for trouble. The vast majority of the time, it means absolutely nothing.
All right. Real fast, like, huh?
What happened to the actual question that we see up there?
Ah, who cares? Ashley? I don't read those things. You're 18?
Yes, I am.
Your 26-year-old boyfriend's got epididymitis? Epididymitis?
Yes, epididymitis.
Right.
I've been seeing this guy for 2 years, and he has a live-in girlfriend who is 27, and she is monogamous with him, and he is my one and only sex partner.
Wait. This is all getting very confusing to me.
Okay.
So he's having affairs with you?
What is that epididymitis?
Epididymitis is inflammation of the epididymis. How about
your sack.
The top of the sack.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And
what are you doing with this guy? He's got a live-in girlfriend?
Well, he's really good. I like him.
All right. So
whatever.
Yeah. Ashley, so, you need therapy.
He's got epididymitis from all the screwing he's doing.
Yeah. He's banging you. He's banging her. He's probably got
the three of us had a threesome once. That was fun.
Oh, you did?
Yes. But I'm wondering, should I get
should I get checked for chlamydia or for anything else? And is it all right to have sex with him after 2 weeks? He's been on antibiotics. And I'm
yes,
clean.
Yes, you should be checked.
Okay.
Yes, it's okay. After you've been checked, it's okay after 2 weeks to have sex with him. Epididymitis usually is not, it's not actually usually even infectious. He's just inflammatory.
All right.
But okay. Antibiotics are usually part of the treatment.
So. Yeah, why don't you get some therapy? You're screwed up. I can hear it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
don't apologize to me. But you got problems.
Yeah.
You're like one of those, I don't know, you know, like a fat chick, you know, Wicca. What's going on?
No, I'm just a university student working at Disneyland and
no.
trying to
buy. No. Something's up. Big ass? Mad at dad? What is it?
No. Not too bad. I'm all right.
No.
I'm all right.
No. No. No matter how many times you repeat that, you got serious problems.
She's not going to tell
you. I guarantee you. Get into therapy and stop being so goddamn smug. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Once again, all social ills cured.
That's right. We took care of a lot of business tonight, Drew. Got a lot of syllables out there in space. Tomorrow night, we're going to have... No, wait, we're not having Benji now from Good Charlotte, right?
Right, it's going to be Joel. Benji's
we're having
stuck
Joel
in another
from Good
country,
Charlotte.
They
yeah.
said.
John from Goldfinger, I haven't seen in a million years, and Burt McCracken is coming in from the U's, so... lots of bands, lots of faces. All right, so, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.